Let's make that real simple, ladies and gentlemen. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What an idea, right? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you in advance for the gift of your valuable time. Here I stand, as always, feet firmly planted in front of God, passing out education, hopefully information, hopefully some humor once in a while, and possible, as I like to say, enlightenment. Your Little Life local organic radio host, the little blue-collar guy, just showed up at 10:30 a.m., the voice, Tucson's trusted local news from, again, the heart, body, mind, soul, and spirit of me, where we actually do believe, ladies and gentlemen, in the founding of this country. And today, today, nuclear clock says 108, and it would be 30 June, year of our Lord, or we could go drop back into Latin. I actually met someone who had a degree in Latin this week from the U of A. I was like, what? Well, yeah, got a degree in Latin. Like, they even know Latin at the U of A? Because the devil hates Latin. When they teach that at the U of A? Yeah. A degree in Latin. I was truly fascinated, ladies and gentlemen. As I like to say, okay, welcome back. Here we go. In order to pull this off, you know, we've got a couple of precepts, ladies and gentlemen. You need to know you own yourself. It's real simple. This bag of meat and bones is mine, and your bag of meat and bones is yours. What an idea. I don't own you, and you don't own me. Your personal protection is your personal responsibility because, ladies and gentlemen, if you're in Boston, I can't protect you. And if you're in Boston, you can't protect me. God, how simple can I get? Can I go back all the way down to common sense and logic one more time? I know they don't teach that crap at TOSD. It's kind of like me telling you, you know, if someone's in Baghdad and they're not wearing their seatbelt, are you thumbs up, thumbs down? Or is it like, oh, crap, none of my business. And that's where I'm at. It's none of my business, ladies and gentlemen. We also understand with education, information, and a lot of courage, and a boatload of wisdom, we all must necessarily fight. Probably violently one of these days. I know I don't like to say it because it's inciting revolution for our own freedom. And the freedom of the future generations today, ladies and gentlemen, this week is the week we need to think about. Revolution, right? Not revolution. No, Sean, you can't say that at BoostDoostMediaLLC.com. Can't do that, Sean. That would be inciting revolution. That would be you breaking a law. Okay, how can you break a law in a country that was founded by revolution? Guys at Perfection Auto Works understand this. And they are on my... So, wait a minute. Hold on. Why did I violate the rules? Sorry. We have rules and regulations at Brush Fires of Freedom. Turn the friggin' cell phone down. Sorry about that. Guys at Perfection Auto Works are actually on my side on this thing about revolutionary acts, revolutionary action. They have simple ideas, ladies and gentlemen. It's very simple. The guys at Perfection Auto Works, you can check them out at 1046 North Beverly. They live in reality, not fantasy. Pretty simple, right? It's not fantasy. It's reality. When you go down there and you call the guys... 323-8650, they answer a good old-fashioned Bell telephone. That's reality. When you call them, you talk to the proprietor of Perfection Auto Works. That's called reality, not fantasy, which basically the entire system of what's the first thing that happens when you turn your TV on in the morning. You know what you're starting to live in? Fantasy. Is any of it reality? Think about it very deeply. You're going to have to look hard and long inside your soul, ladies and gentlemen. When you turn on the TV and you start watching, I don't really care if it's Leave It to Beaver, The Voice, or, I don't know, my 16th birthday. I don't know. I haven't watched TV in 3 years, so it's kind of been really a cool break for me. But when you turn on the TV, what are you actually wanting to live in? Pretty difficult for me because what you're living in is fantasy. Guys, Perfection Auto Works don't believe in fantasy. They believe in reality because your car, again, is a very integral part of your personal protection. These guys, these guys get this thing better than most of the people I've ever met in my life when we talk about reality, the true reality of what happens when your car goes into Perfection Auto Works. The problems are not fantasy. They're reality. They need to be checked out, ladies and gentlemen. And this week, tech tip, ladies and gentlemen, because I've actually been through it. So has Danny. We both, in the last 2 weeks, have lost what are considered to be very expensive parts of the car, and it's the battery. Danny lost one last week, and I lost one this week. Okay? Battery, you know what it cost me to get out of there? Of course, I buy a very expensive, buy once, cry once, right? I buy expensive batteries to go in the car, $170 battery. Well, at this time of year, with this kind of heat, you got, guys, get your car over to Perfection Auto Works, and they will hook this thing up to this $27,000 thingamabob made by Snap-on or Matco. Big old computerized thingamabob. They put on the car. It analyzes the entire electrical system, because that right there, ladies and gentlemen, is a shutdown. I'm telling you what, when the battery goes bad, it's called a shutdown. Done. Parked. Stopped. It's very simple, ladies and gentlemen. Electrical problems are one of the major things that happens in this kind of heat. And that battery, guys and gals, it's not like the old days. I had no idea how quick this was. These new, I think they're called AGMs. It used to be in the old days, you had a couple of, you had a couple of indicators, you know. Oh, it was like, no, 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 no. And then all of a sudden, it's like, no, 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 no. And then like the seventh or eighth time, it goes, no, no, no. Oh, no. You know what you get nowadays? Click. That's how mine went. It drove right up to the spot it was in, walked out, put the key in, click, done. Done. Get your car over to Perfection Auto Works. Call Mike, get an appointment, and they'll check everything else in the car that Pima County Roads will do to it, which is basically destroy every single part in the car, destroy the shocks, the struts, the tie rods, the drag links, everything that moves it, and even the power windows get tore up in this town. I mean, this is the crazy thing in Pima County. When you live in a place in bombed out Baghdad highways, the power steering regulators start falling out. In my old Toyota, you know what went bad in the Toyota? The sun visor fell down. It broke the springs in the sun visor because I drove around on bobbed out Baghdad highways in Pima County. You know what it tore up more than I've ever seen in my entire life is it tore up headlights on that damned old Toyota. It would tear up a headlight every 3 months. And it wasn't because the car had a problem. It was because the roads are so bad. The headlight sat there and shook itself to death. Get your car over to Perfection Auto Works. Get a 26-point inspection. They'll check out the AC, and they'll check out the electrical system to keep you safe out on the road, ladies and gentlemen. We don't want you stopped out there, okay? It's very simple. Also brought to you by my better half, my way better half, my root cord, my ground rod, my level. Danny at Biomed LLC. Danny, I hope you do feel better right now. She's having a tough time. She had to check in over at the urgent care, get some fluid put in her. It's hot outside, ladies and gentlemen. What do we talk about? Hydration. Danny, I hope you're feeling better. Danny at Biomed LLC providing me amniotechnology and trying to keep my back alive so I can actually go back out and do this thing one more time. Just give me about 10 more years of this, ladies and gentlemen, and I will be done. I promise you. And we, again, keeping that toolbox at my house because she knows how I am. I like to do this hurdle thing once in a while. When I see the big rock at the house, I like to run as fast as I can, which is not very fast. I like to jump over the rock. Let's say it all went bad, and I go, boom, Humpty Dumpty's all busted up. I got this toolbox of plates and screws to put me back together. Of course, it takes an ortho. Got to go to ICU or something like that and get put under. And they, you know, plates and screws put me back together. She's taking care of me and keeping me from being a caveman. We'll work on that in just 1 minute. You can find her at biomedllc.org. Also brought to you by the guys right down the street at Frontier Towing, providing a moral and ethical solution to, again, when the electrical system goes bad, the tire falls off. The tire's not aired up. Thing runs out of oil. Basic maintenance things we talk about, guys, that you can take care of yourself or the guys at Perfection Auto Works will take care of. We don't want to happen. I mean, how many advertisers will actually let me admit this on the air? They want to advertise here, and yet they don't want to go work for you. That's pretty moral and ethical, wouldn't you say? You'll find the guys at 748-1100. They're there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year to keep you guys. I know it's bad. Okay, it's going to be 110 this week, guys. Belts and hoses, belts and hoses, belts and hoses. How much more can I say? And it's a lot about basic maintenance, guys. Basic maintenance. We don't have to go into like anything completely unusual like me and trying to rewrite the Bible. No. It's basic maintenance. Everybody knows. When you have a baby, you got basic maintenance. When you have a car, you have basic maintenance. When you got a house, you got basic maintenance. It's called ownership, ladies and gentlemen. And when you got this precious gift from God that's your body, it's basic maintenance. Actually, John's going to get, look at this. I know, I'm late. John's going to get us out. This song is for you, Danny, and for everyone out there that has one. Every guy out there knows, without that woman, you know, it may be Independence Day, ladies and gentlemen, but I got to have a woman, lest I be a caveman. This is for you, Danny. Well, I couldn't say it any better than that, ladies and gentlemen. Happy 30th of June, and I know I'm early, but you know what? Better to celebrate the third most important holiday of the year to guys like me, Christmas, and I made a little mistake last week, sorry about that, Mother's Day, and Independence Day. That's just how I rate these guys. It's very simple. I am a true believer in the founding of this republic, but I also, we brought something up last week, and I'm going to go ahead and out of my 1 minute a day book, ladies and gentlemen, I picked this thing up for a dollar, right? I get books for a dollar. You go over to the little Christian thrift, or it'd be Christian thrift store over 22nd and Pantano, and I get these stacks of books for a dollar. It says right here, sowing and reaping, because this came up last week. Listen carefully to this saying. Lucky parents who have fine children usually have lucky children who have fine parents. In other words, parents who think their kids are great usually have kids who think their parents are great. Said one other way, ladies and gentlemen, what goes around comes around. And out of Proverbs 4:18, ladies and gentlemen, but the path of the just is just like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are back live in the Pax Network studio at 10:30 a.m. The Voice. And today, ladies and gentlemen, I know, it's one of these guys, you know, this crazy high school educated mutt from Moab, Utah, that wanted to talk about one of the, and I fall back and I go back to my great guys. You know, I got this three pack, you know, Thomas Jefferson, Samuel Adams. It's actually a four pack. Thomas Paine and Patrick Henry. Like, here's the four pack, guys. But some things that we don't learn, probably not in TUSD, and things that other people on the radio don't want to talk about, because we can run you around like a whole bunch of cats in a room with a laser and make you focus on Mueller. You could be worried about the FBI. I don't know. You could be worried about things 8,000, 10,000 miles away. I promise you, you can't change. But I'll tell you one thing you need to learn. Well, you know what? I'll tell you one thing you might want to learn. You don't need to do anything. You know what you need to do? As Grandpa used to say, if you don't crap, you die. If you don't eat, you don't crap. So that's basically what you need to do. And of course, in Tucson, you need water. We all need water, right? But learning history, ladies and gentlemen, and the reason we are here as a republic, one of the turning points in that little thing they used to call it the Revolutionary War. Now, I guess it's, I don't know what we might call it now at TUSD. I don't know, a bunch of old white slave-owning dudes took on a bunch of other white slave-owning dudes. I guess that's how TUSD would define it. It was called the Revolutionary War for a reason. It was when this, the cradle of freedom, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we call Greece, and the two places I love to study, because I used to think it was really horribly important to understand Greece and Rome. And yet Greece, the cradle of democracy, and Rome, the beginning of republic, were both horrible in that not everyone was free. This experiment right here, when the 13 colonies took on King George, was the first time ever that it had been tried in this style. I understand that Jefferson had slaves. You don't have to remind me that this was a slave-owning republic, and it still is right today for many of us out there paying half of our money to the federal government. And state governments, and county governments, and city governments, and anywhere we go, we can be stopped anytime, thrown out of our car, thrown off a bridge, and the government says, well, we're the government, he's not. But yet, at the time, ladies and gentlemen, when the shot was heard around the world, April 19th, in Lexington and Concord, that entire operation may have died. It may have been a little spark in a little ball of tinder up in the north part of the country. It may have been one of these things that it looked like a really good idea, and yet down in Georgia, in North Carolina, and they're like, no, I don't know who Samuel Adams is. I don't know this man, Paul Revere. I don't know who Benjamin Rush is. You know what? But I do know who King George is, and I don't want to get involved. And all of a sudden, one brilliant 37-year-old Englishman comes along and changes history forever. He changed the course of history like it's never been changed before. Other than the writing of the Bible, Thomas Paine came along, and he changed the course of American history so that we would be free 6 years later. And he wrote a small pamphlet called Common Sense. I didn't read it till about Glenn Beck actually republished it, and I read it when he came out with it. But I am writing, or I'm sorry, I'm not writing anything, ladies and gentlemen. I write with a pen. I am reading a book right now called Selected Work of Tom Paine, Citizen Tom Paine. And I got to read that one more time. And the backstory on what Mr. Paine was at 37 years old was basically a broke, penniless, non-land-owning Englishman that landed on the shores of the colonies of England, and he saw something he'd never seen before because he'd lived his whole life in England. He'd never seen freedom. He'd been a subject his entire life. He'd never seen true capitalism in action. He'd never seen abundance like we had here. Timber and tar, hemp, produce, as far as the eye could see. It was, at the time he stepped off the boat, the most abundant place on the planet in 1776. And the sparks were about to ignite. Two events changed everything, and one, ladies and gentlemen, was that man, Thomas Paine, coming along. And what he was going to name this thing was America Against Tyranny and For Mankind. He was that prescient that he saw that this experiment wasn't about 13 colonies. It was about the future of mankind. Because to him it was so obvious, it was so natural a progression of history, of all man's struggles. He knew before he wrote it, he was going to call it common sense. And he got those words from another great man in history, Thomas Jefferson, who he'd met through some jobs and knew. And what Thomas Jefferson said to Thomas Paine was, the Declaration of Independence, ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't about freedom. It was about common sense. John, get us out for just 1 second. I'm going to probably eat the whole show up and bore you guys to death with this one. We'll be right back in 2 minutes and 51 seconds. I may have been born that way, ladies and gentlemen. Well, let's just see how it works out for a guy like me. That's right. Live in Facts Not at Work studio at 10:30 a.m. The voice, trusted local news and talk from the heart, body, mind, soul, and blue-collar spirit of me. If you have any comments, 790-2040. Look at this. I'm starting to sound like a radio guy all of a sudden. Like, I actually do this for a living, and yet I don't, ladies and gentlemen. I pay to come in here. I don't get paid. And you think about a man at 37 years. I mean, I'm just trying to think of myself. I'm 53 years old, right? This guy walks over here at 37 years old, poor, broke. He gets a letter of introduction from Benjamin Franklin just to get over here so he can get on the boat and get out of London, which was basically a hellhole. And people, oh, no, Britain was a really superpower. Well, yeah, London was a hellhole. America was at the time, ladies and gentlemen, going to be and about to be the breadbasket of the entire world, which it, again, still is, except for the, again, what's going on in the Midwest. We're about to see a horrible disaster out there. Here you go, ladies and gentlemen. What he said in this book is absolutely brilliant. A little pamphlet, sorry about that, written 243 and a half years ago in January 1776. This guy puts together something. The state of the Union at the time, we weren't. We were colonies of King George. We were on our way to a fight that was beyond anything that's ever been taken on before. And even at the time, because he was an Englishman, he was a sounding board for the true patriots. Samuel Adams, Thomas Jefferson, Washington, George Washington, John Adams. All these guys were using him as a sounding board because he was a very intelligent guy. And yet, a poor, broke Englishman, all these American patriots were looking at him going, man, we can't pull this off. And he said, wait a minute, you can't tell me it's impossible because you never tried it. You must do it, and you must do it now. He wrote in this little tiny pamphlet, Common Sense, society in every state is a blessing. Let me do that one more time. I might not have pulled that off like I want to. Society in every state is a blessing. But government, even in its best state, is but a necessary evil, in its worst state, an intolerable one. For when we suffer or are exposed to the same miseries by a government, which we might expect in a country without a government, our calamity is heightened by reflecting what we furnish the means by which we suffer. In other words, what he's laying out for us in this argument to take up arms against the largest empire in the world in 1776, what he's arguing for is no fear. Because if you're under a government and you live in tyranny, you need to start looking at the fact you're living in tyranny because you're willing to pay for it, dumbass. And he lays it out better than anybody I've ever seen. You can't live under a government that tyrannizes you while you pay for it. It is nonsensical. It's insanity. The guy was brilliant. He, of all the people, of all the American patriots I would lay out on this week, and again, I know it's not Independence Day, but it's coming. It's not a day to buy cheap beer, ladies and gentlemen. It is a day to celebrate the founding of this republic, if we can keep it. Paul, how are you today, young man?
Yes, I'd like to celebrate having you on this on this radio station. It's good to hear from you. I tell you what, all the years I was fighting for this country in the military, I had a great love, affection for the Democrat Party. It seemed like they were on our side. But I can tell you what, in this last week, watching those Democrats in so-called debate in Miami, I have totally lost any affection that I could ever have for this thing that calls itself the Democrat Party. There was not a single person on that stage that I could make out that had any affection or love for the United States of America. They all hated this country, still do, and they want to turn it into a European country, probably a monarchy if they could. And it seems like everyone that wants to vote for them, I'm talking to some of the people that work for me, And the people who go for Democrats are my total losers. Why is it all losers? No people that really want to work hard and get ahead care for this Democrat Party. And I was wondering how you feel about it where you work.
Paul, I'm going to make this very clear. You grew up in a time and a place, and you have been, and ladies and gentlemen, if we can give a huge, massive amount of appreciation to a guy like Paul, has been in this republic for over 90 years, and you've seen the ups and downs of this republic going back before FDR, right, Paul?
That's right.
Now, I'm going to be real honest about my grandfather. I'm pretty sure he was a Kennedy Democrat. Were you?
Oh, yeah.
I'm of the opinion, ladies and gentlemen, that John F. Kennedy was on our side. As Americans, I will not say that about Johnson. I don't know that I can even say it about Nixon, ladies and gentlemen. But I will say that John F. Kennedy was on our side. Now, what happened after that, you start to see politicization of the office of the White House. Rather than working for the American people, Paul, it's turned into what a lot of people are looking at is the aristocracy dividing and conquering us. And I'm trying to stay out of the fray, but I also see, and I'm very careful how I talk about what these people are. They are democratic, socialist, Marxist that want to steal you and I blind and use the fruits of that theft to give it to other people. That was never the design of this country. That would not even be in my book. Thomas Paine couldn't even understand it. King George couldn't understand the theft that's going on right now and telling people, oh, we should just wipe out college debt. Well, as soon as you wipe out debt, you know what that's called? Theft. Because you got something for nothing. And I'll tell you, you come to my house and take my stuff, that's called theft. If you go to college and you don't pay for it, that's called theft. I got a real tough time with Medicare for All, because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll be real careful how I say this. We've got the best medical care system in the civilized world right now. And if you start giving everybody access and nobody pays, I'm telling you what we're going to have. It's called Somalia. We are going to go to a place where everybody gets free health care, but nobody gets anything good except rich people. And I don't know where rich people are going to go. I guess to Switzerland, or I don't even know what happens, Paul. I'm on your side, and I don't know what happened. And I continue to go back to Marxist-inspired public schools where people learn this crap. What do you think?
I think I go back to Lincoln saying that a nation divided against itself cannot stand. And unless you and me and a few other people like us start standing up, we're going to be in a totally divided country. We're going to have two countries here with a lot of people dead.
You know, and I've got a lot of friends of mine that are actually thinking that we're at that point where it's going to be a quote-unquote them versus us shooting light. And I don't see it happening, Paul. I think the them and us is the aristocracy versus the bourgeois, which is what I consider myself. Regular working class dudes out here doing it. And then you've got your now high-level aristocracy going from Chuck, you know, your $400,000 a year guy, Chuck Huckleberry, down to Washington and Phoenix, and all these people probably haven't picked up a brick or a trowel in their life, wouldn't know how to start a tractor, let alone know how to change the oil on one or air the tire up on one, that basically tell us how to live our lives. And they, you know, they can't live their own. I'm sorry, but they're just freaking psychopaths on both sides of the aisle. I'm real picky about this. I don't like any of them anymore, because it's just this guy over here saying that guy's crazy, that guy over there saying that guy's crazy, and all of them point to me and you saying, oh, by the way, you got to pay for this crazy, Paul. We need about 50% of your money every year.
Well, we're going to have to go back to the Constitution or kiss it all goodbye, but thank you for your program.
Well, if we could go back to Article 1, Section 9, Clause 11, Congress shall not lay any direct taxes. Oh, wait, we had to change that with the 16th Amendment, Paul. Of course, I'm one of these absolute constitutionalists. I actually know how to, I still know how to read English. You know, I mean, I may not speak it like some of these other guys, but I'll tell you, I do believe, Paul. And thank you, Paul, for, I mean, those of us that are actually on this side, Paul. And when I get off the air, I'm going to tell you what, there are boatloads of my friends that say, man, we want to party with Paul. We're on Paul's side. How come we don't have 100 Pauls out there? And we are on your side, Paul. John, get us out for just 1 second. Oh, man. Boy, that set a mouthful, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for those gifted hands. I'll tell you the story of what that is actually about. I have to amend some of the things I've said over the last, I don't know, 3.5 years because of what's happened this week. I've had new experiences in places that I would normally not go. I'll explain that later when we've got some of this other stuff solved. Sorry about that. I'm bouncing around here like a little kid. Kinda. All right. Go back to my book, and I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, at the time this all kicks off, April 19, April, year of our Lord 1776. at the time, we didn't have a census, right? So we assume on the land mass, we called the 13 colonies of Great Britain, by the way. We were still colonists. There was approximately 3 million people here. And in a feat that will never be recreated, ladies and gentlemen, when Thomas Paine wrote this book called Common Sense, estimates range that between 250,000 and 350,000 copies were printed. You think about that right now. One out of 10. That would be, if we equate that to right now with 332 million people in America, that would be the biggest selling book. More copies than the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. Almost everybody got to see a copy of this book. And Thomas Paine, unlike most of these psychopaths that want to run out here and tell you to vote for that guy or vote for that guy or vote for me, and I'll make your life better when I go 2,177 miles away from you and live in this giant castle like King George. Thomas Paine never took a nickel for the writing of the book that basically fanned the flames of the American Revolution. He never took a single nickel for writing that book. It changed history, ladies and gentlemen. And there are people right now walking out of TUSD or just walked out and graduated and got their little funny hat, wore their funny little robe. Valedictorians and salutatorians probably walked up on stages in high schools in this town and have never heard of Thomas Paine. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what I call a crying, frigging shame. It makes me sick to think that somebody wouldn't know the reason we live in these United States of America comes down to damn near one man. When he wrote that book, this country was downtrodden. There weren't enough soldiers. There weren't enough supplies. People weren't willing to do this, ladies and gentlemen. They were scared out of their wits of King George. Hell, where do we live right now? In complete and utter fear of doing anything. People call me on my cell phone right now, and I'm like, hey, back up, dude, back up. Don't say that on my cell phone. And yet this guy knowing, you know what he did? He whispered treason against the crown. I'll do that one more time. He whispered treason against the crown. He did something way beyond Julian Assange and way beyond Edward Snowden. You live in a country right now, this guy would have been burned at the freaking stake. Can it be done again? Will anybody ever write these words again? These are the times that try men's souls. This is not in Common Sense, by the way. This is written in 1777 in the Crisis Papers, when he was trying to fuel the American Revolution because he was out there with the troops, not getting paid, eating the same garbage that they were eating. He was following around the revolutionary troops as they fought the British lobster backs all across the country. He was out there with them so he could see it live. That's called real manliness. These are the times that try men's souls. Written in 1777, the Crisis Papers number one. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of his country. But he stands it now, deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered, yet we have this consolation with us that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. 'Tis dearness only that gives everything its value. Heaven knows how to put a proper price upon its good, and it would be strange indeed if so celestial an article as freedom should not be highly rated. Where are these people now? When you go out and vote, ladies and gentlemen, you start looking for somebody, one person. Call me. Call my cell phone. Text me, 780-8539. You find one person that can just think like this for 5 seconds. And make sure and get me involved. Because I will back them with my heart and my soul. Just one person that can think like this just for 5 seconds a day. That would be the 243 and a half year leap. Where we could find one person that could just think outside the box for a little bit. Thomas Paine did it. He nailed it, guys. Will they teach it in TUSD? Will they even take a second and talk about him in TUSD? And I'm going to say the word is not just no, but hell no. Uh-oh. Somebody's got a power saw in here. What is that? Do you hear it, John? I don't know what it is. It sounds like somebody's like, you don't think they're coming with a Hellfire missile, do you? Okay. I'm sorry. Sounds like somebody's trying to saw through the door like Ocean 11, like when they stole that 100-kilogram coin up in that place in Canada. I'm not kidding. It sounds like they're drilling through the wall. They're coming, aren't they? Oh, boy. Don't talk about history on 1030 KBY, by the way. This is exactly what happens when I'm talking on my cell phone to people about history. Click. Boom. Today, ladies and gentlemen, if you actually did pick up this little pamphlet, you can, and again, I do recommend the Glenn Beck version of this. You can probably pick it up on Amazon now for $2-3. I know you can pick up the actual real edition of Common Sense for $1.65. Now, I've got this great big book written in 1943 that my son actually gave me. What an idea, right? Today, there seems to be nothing amazingly revolutionary in Common Sense. But when you actually do read Thomas Paine, you'll come over to my side. And what you need to do when you actually read these old books is think about the viewpoint of the day, ladies and gentlemen. Think about this guy in 1776. Think about Thomas Paine as an Englishman in America, and you remember that he called for action in specific and not abstract terms. Reminds me of a guy I know that comes on here once in a while. He invited men to fight for freedom, not just think about it. And later in life, ladies and gentlemen, he knocked it down. He knocked down why governments exist. He did something, as I delve more and more into like trying to read more of the Bible and start figuring out why is government here? Why is it we all got so scared all of a sudden? Why did we all just have to live in fear? Why are governments ever here? And Paine knocks it down in another book he wrote later in life after the French Revolution, when he ran away from America, ran over to England, of course got ran out of England too because he tried to foment revolution there. He went over to France and wrote about the French Revolution. And the book he wrote then was called The Rights of Man. And he said one time, in casting our eyes over the world, it's extremely easy to distinguish the governments which have arisen out of society or out of the social compact from those which have not. But to place this in a clearer light than what a single glance can afford, it is proper to take a review of the several sources from which governments have arisen on and on which they have been founded. Now you think about this, ladies and gentlemen, going all the way back pre-Greece. And even during Greece, ladies and gentlemen, we've all seen the movie 300, where the guy has to climb the mountain. Who's he going to consult? The Oracle. Thomas Paine says, number one, what is the first thing governments were arisen out of? Superstition. That's the beginning of government, ladies and gentlemen, is a fear of what some guy over here tells you, if you don't give me 10% of your crap, I'm going to make these guys over here make your crops go bad. Of course, I said 10%, right? Yeah, way back. We're going back 6,000 years, right? And secondly, ladies and gentlemen, what's the second reason that governments are instituted? Let's go back to Remus and Romulus. Power. Absolute, utter power. What went on in Rome was not about normal. They may have talked about Republic, but I'm telling you what, Remus and Romulus, right up to the point where Romulus went over and choked his brother out, it was all about one thing. It was about power. It was a bunch of heathens came together and started the Roman Republic and then started just basically taking swords, sticks, rocks, and whatever they could and stamping over every free, loving, thinking person within almost 13,000 miles of them. And number three, ladies and gentlemen, and this was the first time, other than maybe a small little shot in Holland, they had a little bit of freedom over there one time. This place right here in 1776, ladies and gentlemen, was the first time, and that's why the guy wrote the book, The 5,000-Year Leap. This may have been the first time it was ever tried in the history of mankind. The third reason we institute government, ladies and gentlemen, the common interest of society and the common rights of man. Very simply put, what is government about? Your God-given rights and securing those rights for your posterity. The first two governments, what are they about? Control. This government here was built on one thing and one thing only. In 1776, it was about the rights of mankind and securing those rights and liberties forever and for their posterity. Think about that on Thursday, ladies and gentlemen. Call me, text me anytime, 780-8539, if you've got any questions or concerns. As you go out in the world, ladies and gentlemen, read a book once in a while, right? Don't hit, don't steal. Practice the golden rule. And as Thomas Paine said, this is going to be pretty easy if you love thy neighbor as thyself. I'll see you next week on Brush Fires of Freedom. Thanks in advance for your, or thanks in arrears of your valuable time. Maurice will be in about 5 minutes and 16 seconds. After that, Jeff Prather's going to be on. Both friends of the show and both friends of Tucson, Arizona. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. I appreciate your time.